Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Now you talk about being the man. You know what's funny about that? Every place I've went, every place that I've been, there's been someone exactly like you. And you know what they'd say? They'd say, I'm the man. And you know what I'd do? I'd beat them, I'd take their spot, and I would become the man.
This is Dan, the B7, three-time Ultimate Fight Champion, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. You better listen or else I know where you live.
Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 6th. Holidays today, National Mustard Day and Wiggle Your Toes Day. Oh, well. Birthdays today, well, there was no wrestling birthdays. There is. Dino Bravo would have been 67 today. I'm not really sure what happened to him. I know he passed away in like 1993, but he would have been 67 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight Empire at Culver. Please join us August 20th for UFC 202 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. Main events, Diaz McGregor 2. Cannot wait for that. Hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night long. That's August 20th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 202. And if you're into the world of pro wrestling, the very next night, we're going to be there for WWE SummerSlam at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. That starts at 8 p.m. Come join us for all the fun and frivolity we have at WWE SummerSlam, August 21st. Hey, are you interested in roller derby? Fancy yourself a skater? Job of being an official more up your alley? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Become one of us, the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. We got a packed show. I know I was whipping through that real quick. Huge guest in the studio. Got a couple guests in the studio, and we'll get to them in just a second. But I have a special message before we get too far. A wrestler who's going to be in town today. We have a big show coming to Rochester, but we have a special message from one who just left the WWE recently. Let's see how.
He's the Brooklyn Brawler, and I can tell you one thing. Tonight in Rochester, the Brooklyn Brawler is coming to Rochester, and he's bringing the streets of Brooklyn right into Rochester. This is one show you don't want to miss. If you miss this show tonight, you are losing out, because the Brooklyn Brawler is going to unleash like you have never seen him before.
All right, so we got the Brooklyn Brawler. He's got a special message for our guest in our studio. We have joining us from UPW, Mark Haas. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
And we have a UFC Hall of Famer, three-time UFC champion, Dan the Beast Severin, joining us. Dan, thank you so much for giving us some time in the studio today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
I was going to bring you in with you. You remember your old WWE music?
Sort of.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little piece of it for you. I remember it was pretty cool. They play this, and you'd come walking out on that ramp.
Kind of a hard tune to dance to, you know.
It's great to have. I love having Hall of Famers in the studio with us. It's awesome that you came up, and you're in Rochester tonight to wrestle. Both you and Mark are going to be wrestling for UPW, the House Headlock and Home Runs 5 tonight. It's going to be at the Premier Sports Center of Western New York. That's 701 Phillips Road in Webster. Brand new facility there, too. I don't think, Mark, you guys ever run out there before?
Not that I know of.
That that's the first time. So it's one of those facilities where they have batting cages outside too, and they have outdoor fields and covered fields. So it looks like a pretty cool place. And that's tonight. I believe the doors open at 5:00. It starts at 6 p.m. But man, we have just royalty in the studio here. Stu, my buddy Stu's with us. Stu, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm here. It's nice to be with you guys again.
Yeah, you know, you were telling me Dan just put a book out, and you were reading it, and you were telling me about some of the facts from it. Why don't you talk about that for
I'm
a second?
I'm just over halfway through the book. It's called The Realest Guy in the Room, The Life and Times of Dan the Beast Severin. I'm about, like I said, halfway through, and it's pretty thorough so far, I believe. Talking about his amateur career and how he transitioned from amateur wrestling into the UWFI and then into Tough Man Contest and then into mixed martial arts.
And then Dan, is that book is that out right now? People can buy that on Amazon.
It's only out on ebook right now. Is what it's out on too, and I guess it's doing pretty well for itself. It's the number one bestseller right now in its category. The hard copies I think are supposed to be out here. I'll say next 20-30 days.
Very cool. What inspired you to write? You know, I mean, was it just got to the point in your career? It's like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, I've done so much, I better get it down before I forget it.
Well, I'll say a combination of both of that, and I've actually been compiling, call it memoirs, call it a diary, whatever. I've been compiling stories of travels, of unique things that have happened since probably my junior high years. Which is an awful lot. I never really thought of thinking of, I should say, I never really thought of make it into a book. But I started realizing I had a 1,000+ pages of this material right here. And, you know, a couple of people have been prodding me for a number of years. Because they love the stories I tell. I go, well, these aren't just stories. These are things that I've lived. And, yeah, I finally just put it together. This, the gentleman, Ian Douglas, basically helped me kind of put it all into some type of order just to make a good first impact hitting, you know, big industries like the mixed martial arts world, the professional world, but then also touching into some of the growing up aspects, some of the amateur wrestling aspects, and then some of those twilight years. But, as far as I'm concerned, it's just barely scratching the surface of what I have been through or what I've had have experienced. So they're more than likely there will be a book number two and probably a book number three.
How can you say twilight years? You look so young, sir.
Only my hairdresser knows for sure.
The mustache is in prime condition.
Very cool.
Let's just say I'm just glad I have hair to color.
I'm very glad. I was going to say that, you know, and people, we're basically a pro wrestling talk show, but we do talk MMA. And I was telling Dan before he came on that we talked to him right after he left the WWE. I think it was 1999. We had sat down and interviewed you and talked about all the things that were going on and you leaving. And you know, you spent four, you know, you in the world of pro wrestling, you had that NWA heavyweight title for like 4 years, and then you went to wrestle for the WWE while you still had that. You know, was that, now I always wonder this, was that because the NWA title was part of WCW before it went to, before they stopped recognizing it as a heavyweight title? Then you had it, and they brought you on TV with that title. Was that kind of like a shot at them at first when you first came on, with that title on TV?
You know, I really can't probably tell you all the inner workings of how that all came about. I know that they were just starting to flirt with some of the NWA type aspects of with the WWE, well, known as WWF at that time. I'll just simply say that I've been in a very unique position over the course of my career. I've never been exclusive to anybody. At the time I was working for the NWA, you know, they wanted me to be exclusive to them. I said to them, what's it worth to you guys for me to be exclusive to you guys? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, if another organization has worked for me for a weekend, are you guys willing to pay me to sit home? And they're like, well, no, then again, I guess I'm called non-exclusive to you guys. Cause I, you know, to me, it's like, I'm very loyal to a person. At the same token, I don't want you to inhibit my earnings capability. Even when I was working for the WWF, I was the very first and still, to my knowledge, the only non-exclusive wrestler underneath their roster, to where I was working for 40 different promotions in the NWA alone throughout the course of the United States, on top of keeping a limited schedule with the WWF, and then, doing all the other bookings over and above that, to where when I tell people that I'm on the road 20 some odd days out of the month, I really was. I'd wake up in the morning and I have to actually look at my planner to realize, am I a professional wrestler tonight? Am I a cage fighter? Am I teaching amateur wrestling this? Am I doing law enforcement that? It was
pretty, I'll just say, just very tiring during those aspects. And you think that I would slow down by now? I haven't. If anything, I've actually gained momentum.
222-1280, star 1280 is the number. If you have a question for Dan B7 or Mark Haas from UPW, or just a general question for us, give us a call right now, and you can text us at that number, too, if you're shy, and, we can read your text on the air. It's very cool to have you in here, sir. We you have an association with Al Snow. We've seen pictures of him. He coming out into your UFC fights, you know, in your corner and stuff. Well, technically, there's no corner in an octagon, but whatever. You know, he's in he's in your side. So, but how did you meet Al, and how did I know that you guys trained together, and he maybe he showed you some pro wrestling stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, Al is one of the. His facility down Lima, Ohio, is where I end up doing the first of my professional wrestling training. All being introduced by a gentleman by the name of his ring name was Denny Cass, another professional wrestler. He brought me down, meet Al. I'll say I had probably one of my most interesting training camps, probably should be slapstick comedy. For UFC number 4 was my very first debut there with the Ultimate Fighting Championships. And I trained all of 5 days, an hour and a half a day down at Al's gym there, because a professional wrestling ring was the closest thing to a cage that I could find. But that's back then. Today, you can go to any community, I don't care how big or small it is, and you will find a gym that has a cage, or at least a section of cage fencing in there that they'll say that we actually work on, you know, cage wall tactics and things of that nature. So professional wrestling ring was the closest thing that could come to a cage, and had Al and two of his other proteges and one old pair of boxing gloves between the three of them, and they would simply just rotate, switching out on the pairs of gloves and punch, kick, and do whatever submissions that they were making up on the fly, and I just basically did my amateur wrestling skills, just trying to stay out of range, close the distance, clinch them, take them down, slap on amateur wrestling moves. And a lot of people don't realize amateur wrestling moves have the principles of leverage. Another way of saying the word leverage, since we are in the pain clinic here, it's influences of pain. So you put your opponent to pain, put them on their back, so knowing that I'm just using amateur wrestling techniques, turning them illegal on top of, so I'm adding just a little extra pain to it all. So that was my training camp, 5 days, an hour and a half a day, never training a single legitimate punch, never doing a legitimate submission. Even when I showed up to the UFC, there was no weight classes at that time period, but they still wanted to have the tail of the tape to say, you are this tall, you are this weight, and this is your martial arts background. Even when they asked me, well, what's your martial art? I'm like, I'd never been asked that question before. I simply looked at the person and said, well, I'm an American wrestler. And they had never heard that expression before, and they looked at me kind of puzzled-like and like, well, excuse me, but what is that going to do for you? And I said, I'm not sure. I'm making this up as I go. Just watch and see.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that you only trained that much, but you went to the finals of UFC number 4 against Royce Gracie in the tournament, I believe. And I think you may have not gotten past Royce Gracie there, but I think he choked you out, nevertheless. But you
well,
I mean,
no. Let's talk. Let's take a moment right
okay,
there.
Sorry.
You're kind of grazing over that. Just you find another human being that can walk this planet, that can train for 5 days, an hour and a half a day, who has never been in a fight in their entire life, and come out with the results I came out with, it doesn't walk this planet. And the sheer fact of what I did, the average match at that time was 2 minutes, 22 seconds, a very intense 2 minutes, 22 seconds. We went to right around that 16-minute mark. I'll simply say that, yeah, I tapped. But did I tap because another man beat me, or did I tap because I was unwilling to do what I needed to do to another man? Only one person knows the answer to all this, and that's me. I've been adamantly pursuing him for a number of years for one last hurrah. Basically, I've been pursuing three people in order: Coleman, Shamrock, Royce Gracie. If I could have had them all in a row, it would have been that row. Mark's off the list. He's had a couple artificial knee replacements, so he's health reasons, he's off the list. But Ken and Royce are still viable, since they did do that awesome match there in Bellator. There.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm so bold at this point in time that I'll give you a Kmart 2-for-1 special. I'll do them both on the same night. just give me a 45-minute break in between. Flip the coin for whatever sorry soul wants to go first.
All right. Well, you threw it out there. It's out there. It's on the air radio waves now.
So. It's been out there for the last few years. They come up with excuse after excuse. They keep saying, oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Come on, Scott Coker. Get on it.
Yeah. Okay, we got to go to break right now. What a great moment to hit the break right now. But thank you. We're going to talk more with Dan Severn. If you have a question, 222-1280, star 1280. Headlocks and home runs 5 tonight. UPW show. Big show. Not only are we going to get Mark Haas wrestling the Brooklyn Brawler, who I have a special message for you when we come back, Mr. Mark Haas, from the Brooklyn Brawler. We also, Dan Severn's taking on Chris Caden. We also have Zeb Coulter. I'm sorry, the Dutch Mantel is in town, too. He's going to be managing Dick Justice, I guess, against Jock Sampson with Ben Hameen. So it's going to be a great show tonight, and it starts at doors open at 5. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight out in 701 Phillips Road out in Webster. Definitely check it out. We'll talk more about it on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I scratched and clawed my entire life to get this.
At Walt Disney World Resort, we live the kind of moments that fill our souls. And when we live them as a family, we make history. Walt Disney World. Unforgettable happens here. Visit DisneyWorld.com/together to check our incredible offers.
You own special pieces of jewelry. Not just metal and stones. Milestones. The night he proposed. An important anniversary.
More markers.
Your daughter's a budding artist?
No, a huge loser.
Well, I'm sure
she loses markers, crayons, glue.
Oh, I get it.
Right. She's just a loser, not a loser loser.
Back to school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day. Like a 12-pack of Crayola colored pencils, just 97 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
Quiet, 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 I said quiet!
This is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to 1280 WHTK, the Pain Clinic.
I guess Chris Jericho told us to be quiet, huh? Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, Brian. I know. I never introduced you guys earlier. We're here with Mark Haas from UPW and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severn, who's wrestling tonight. UPW's Headlocks and Home Runs 5. Definitely don't want to miss that.
Hi, I'm Stu. I don't exist.
You don't exist, Stu.
Hey, you got introduced earlier. It's more than the rest of us got.
Yeah, I know.
Very true.
Yeah, I know. Stop complaining, Stu. Stu, if you want to participate in the show, then you can be my guest and ask a question.
Ask a question right now?
Yeah, why not?
Let's see. Dan, do you feel your humble upbringing shaped the way you lived your life?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question.
We're getting serious here.
The way that we were talking earlier during the break there, I would have thought, what is the setup here now? But no, I guess in all sincerity, yes, it has. I mean, I grew up on a farm, and I'd say that's probably what established the work ethic that I have today. And it was not volunteer, and it wasn't. It was mandatory. You know, it was. Growing up on a farm is a combination farm of crops and animals. So. The rule was you had to get up early in the morning. You had to take care of all of your chores before you were being taken care of, and you had to do that in all before heading off to school. So that was all part of my regiment. But even when you got back home, no matter how late that would be, you because you're going to school, then there'd be after school practices. You might be going to dual meets, things of that nature. So that getting back at night might be quite late at night. But as my father would say, son, do you like to eat? So do the animals. Do you like to drink? So do the animals. Take care of the animals twice a day, in the morning and at night. But I did have help. I actually had 7 other siblings. I'm just second on the totem pole.
Now I got another really important question for you, Dan. In a cage fight, who wins, your mustache or the cash stash?
Well, I've heard some legends of the cash stash that weeds out in
what?
in a summertime lawn grow better than what the cash stash did at the time. So I would have to say unanimously that my stash would overwhelm the cash stash.
Would it be by suplex or submission?
Well, no. I think this is ultimately suplex city.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm not going to complain. You know, it was terrible. Believe me, it was terrible. I will admit that. But man.
Normally that comes up between Don Fry and myself, and I have to concede to Don, because his is younger. It is bolder than what the. But I would simply say I will concede to Don Fry for him having the younger, more youthful, bolder stash. But I am the originator.
You know what's great is Don Fry went into the Hall of Fame this year. Were you happy about that? Him going to the UFC Hall of Fame?
Well, of course I was. Yeah. I was actually right there. I was his inductor. So I was really happy. I mean, Don, I've had a long history with Don. He was actually one of my wrestlers at Arizona State University at the time. And then, combination of him graduating, moving on to other things, and me taking a job from Arizona State, took a job at Michigan State. You know, kind of life kind of separated us for a while there. And then when he saw me in the Ultimate Fighting Championships, he sought me out and asked me if I could help get him in. And I'll simply say that I helped open the door for him, but Don had a way of kicking that door open and keeping it open for quite some time after that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his acting, too. He was in the one of the last Godzilla movies over in Japan, and he was the only guy who was allowed to speak English. You know, I guess he pretty much dictated that in the movie. So,
well, I'll say Don Fry speaking English is a very interesting way of speaking English. He's got that gravel voice that I still think you need subtitles to understand what exactly did Don say.
It's terrifying.
He was like a Clint Eastwood character in this movie, so it was pretty good. You know, he just made those lines, you know, just one line at a time. So it was really, really cool. Now, I wanted to ask you about one moment of legitimacy in the WWF at the time, and it was something called the Brawl for It All. You might remember that. You were in that.
Yes.
And you actually took out the Godfather at the time. And now, being, you know, looking back at it, 2020, hindsight being 2020, how legit was it? Because you had to drop out after that. Did they make you do that? They make you drop out and let the Godfather get back into it?
Just, I guess, the whole premise of it. I'll say whatever day that this took place. It was either Monday or Tuesday at whatever venue that we happened to be at. That all the talent is in the cafeteria room. A couple of the road agents brought all the talent together, and they're throwing out this concept of this brawl for all, and the 3 1-minutes with these 20-ounce gloves, and they're saying the only two people that are not allowed to be in it is Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn. Well, as soon as they said that, I'm like, well, boom, I just turned around and I walked out of the room because I'm not going to be in it, so why bother sitting around and listening to anything more about it? This goes on for several weeks. And then, I'm in the locker room area, just kind of kicking back, relaxing to see whether or not things are going to materialize, whether I'm going to be on the show or not that evening. And one of the road agents walks back and say, "Hey, Dan, how would you like to be in the Brawl for All tonight?" And I just kind of like just sleepishly just kind of looked up at him. I said, "Against who? How much?" He says, "Godfather," throws out a price tag. I go, "Sure." And, you know, there was no that was actually about the whole prep aspect of it. I told him, I says, "I don't want to wear gloves though," and he's like, "Well, you can't go out there bare knuckled." I says, "I'll tell you what," "I won't throw a single punch. I will simply show to you and to the rest of the world what a real wrestler can do without ever throwing a single punch. I will tie this man up and I'll throw him around, put on a little bit of a show there for the folks, and you know he can swing away and he'll never touch me." Is basically what I said to him. Right. Well, obviously that did not work out for me. I still wore the gloves out there and did the thing. You know, I tied them on up, took them on down. I basically controlled the tempo of the match. Won. And as soon as I basically walked out of the arena and passed behind the curtain, you know, the same road agent is there and he says, "Well, now you're out." So I never chose not to be in it. I didn't choose to be out. It was basically, I'll say it was more of a company's perspective. But if I was to be speculate on this, I think that the whole concept of this brawl for all was a bunch of the old executive cronies getting together, having a few martinis or whatever else, were probably simply saying, "I think this guy is the Barney badass of the company. You know, I think this guy is, and this guy." And they're like, "Well, let's do this concept of this brawl for all." Okay, Shamrock and Severn aren't into it. somewhere down the road, the same cronies got together. I'll bet the Godfather, blah, 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 this could do this or that. Well, let's make it happen. Because, like I said, I was never invited into it in the first place. I'm taken out of it quickly. I would like to have been into it in because the winner was going to walk away with a whole lot more substantial than what I made for one night's work.
And you would have fought Butterbean. That was the championship was on a pay-per-view, and it was a legit. I mean, it was about Burt Gunn, I believe, was the guy who won the whole thing and
yeah.
got knocked out like, you know, 30 seconds into the fight.
It was a WrestleMania spot.
Yeah, that's right. And it was, but you know, the thing is there was legit, you guys legitimate fighters in there that were in there, and it's like I think you know when it comes down to it, you know, are we watching wrestling or were they trying to grab the UFC crowd at the time too? Yeah. Maybe you know.
The whole concept of Brawl for All failed from a spectator's point of view because people are tuning in. They want to watch professional wrestling. They're not really wanting to watch this product. And the product just, I you know, to me, in my opinion, just it failed miserably. And I guess that's about it on that.
Yeah, it did. But you would have probably liked to take that last spot up against Butterbean. And, you know, I mean, it turned into a boxing match instead of just anything beyond that. I think he came out with gloves on, too. And
yeah, that was, you know, I mean, the whole concept that Brawl for All was supposed to be like this tough man type aspects. And I'd actually had done a couple of tough man competition. And tough man is not exactly boxing. It's more like brawling. And, you know. I was always really good at my aspects of closing the distance without getting clinched and using my Greco-Roman background and clinching guys and just bumping them and off-balancing them to where as they're putting their hands down to catch their balance up like this, you know, they leave themselves wide open. That's clubbing them, you know, like a Neanderthal. So
how was it working with Ken Shamrock in the pro wrestling ring? I mean, obviously you met up, you know, in the MMA world, but, you know, all of a sudden they brought your feud into the WWE and they were gonna run with it for quite a while there. They had the Lion's Den match and, you know, a lot of things going on. Is it why they specifically brought you guys in? Was to do something like that, try to build off that?
I would say that was a great opportunity that never happened. I don't know whoever created this, that there was a feud between Ken and myself, because to me it's like I never really figured that there was. You know, we just had shared the cage a couple times and that was about it. But there is an opportunity because, you know, we each have a leg up on each other. So to have the proverbial rubber match, the third match, that goes without saying that is marketable, whether that takes place in the wacky world of professional wrestling or in the even wacky world of cage fighting. It's a kind of a blurred line anymore as to which industry you're in.
True that, but I mean, it's like you go from having as a major competition to having to work with them, you know, in a match, and it's like it's got to be like different worlds, you know. I see these guys like Brock Lesnar who go to UFC and they have to like, you know, get rid of the, you know, not trying to hurt their opponent and trying to hurt their opponent. So it's like, you know, it's like a reverse thinking almost when you're in there.
No, you're exactly right. I'll say that when I was first transitioning from amateur wrestler to a professional wrestler. As an amateur wrestler, as I stepped onto the mat, as I look across, I saw nothing but an opponent. I did not care about the crowd whatsoever. I mean, the crowd, whether they were cheering me or booing me, did not have an influence on me whatsoever. Because I'll say that, like my international career actually provided me with a great deal of experience, and I'd say advantage. When I got ready to go into the octagon, because being a wrestler, I represented the United States on numerous occasions and would be on foreign soil where Americans were not exactly very well liked at that point in time. So to walk out there and being booed, having stuff being thrown at you, it was a natural. I could tune them right on out, and even in the refereeing aspects. You'd have the old Eastern Bloc countries of East Germany or Russia and stuff like this that they're screwing you over on the point system and stuff like this, to where you simply knew that you were going to walk into a match and there's going to be a lot of things going against you, but you have to keep your head together and just have to keep on pushing through on things. So in that aspect, that really prepared me well for climbing into the octagon cage and that. And I know I kind of digressed off your
That's okay.
original question, but... you know, it's one of those senior moments.
Believe me, he does not look that old, folks. He's, you know, definitely tonight you got a match. Is looking forward to that a lot. Another thing is you've been in the ring with some of the you know the Hall of Famers, quote unquote, from WWF or The Rock. You know, Shamrock. You know, not technically not Shamrock, but The Rock. You went through and actually did the King of the Ring tournament, and when your last match in that was against The Rock. You know, did you ever think that guy was going to be what he turned into when you were working with him way back? Back then, because that's really before his pinnacle, I think.
Well, I would look at that. You know, when you look at the same characteristics between being, you know, becoming a successful actor or actress, you know, professional wrestling, you are a performer. You are so you're both a performer for your own lines, cutting your own promos, your stage presence. But you're also most professional wrestlers, they're phenomenal stunt people as well because of all the bumping that they do for layman's for you know just the way that they're falling down and protect themselves. Most professional wrestlers do not even realize that they're doing the most basic fundamentals of martial arts breakfalling. They want to make sure that they land on as much body mass as they possibly can so that they can dissipate the impact. So. You know, it's and that's where you know again. I teach professional wrestling, and then I teach a lot of I say more or less the basic fundamentals of how to keep a match safe, and the fact that you want to actually tell a storyline in the process, and not just do incredible high spots that don't mean anything whatsoever.
Definitely, and I was going to say, with you being in the King of the Ring, you were there for a short time, and they put you in. That was one of the most prestigious pay-per-views at the time. They threw that. You're a solid hand, obviously, out there, and they put you in there with some, you know, I mean, you had Owen Hart. He was one of your first matches in that tournament. You took in D'Lo Brown. So there were some guys that, you know, you went out there and, you know, they put you over, and then you had to put The Rock over, and then, of course, Shamrock won the whole thing in the end. I thought that's what they were building towards your feud at that point, trying to get you guys together. But that, of course, never kind of really worked out. But we got to take a break. And, Mark, I'm gonna play something for you right now, Mr. Mark Haas.
Perfect.
Yeah, as we go to break. This is from the Brooklyn Brawler. He and I were talking, and he wanted you to know something.
The Brooklyn Brawler. The Brooklyn Brawler is coming down to Rochester tonight, and this punk Mark Haas, who thinks he's going to step up and wrestle a legend, a nobody like Mark Haas, if he thinks he's going to face a WWE legend, you've got another thought coming, because you're going to be taken to school. Trust me, punk.
You hear that, Mark Haas?
I do, but unfortunately for him. He will learn my name's actually Mark House, and then I'll show him whose house it really is. So he can try, but he won't succeed.
All right, we're going to go to break. You're listening to the Pink Link on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm pretty sure the night after we meet, your fists are going to be pretty sore from punching me in the face. But my foot... it's going to be real sore for kicking your damn teeth down your throat.
Hey, yo, Enzo. Look what we got here, huh?
What do we got over here? A cup of Haynes? A cup of Haynes?
Hey, who's your...
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, my daughter needs back to school supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
Oh, fantastic. She needs more markers.
Your daughter's a budding artist?
No, a huge loser.
Well, I'm sure
she loses markers, crayons, glue.
Oh, I get it.
Right. She's just a loser, not a loser loser.
Back to school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day. Like a 12-pack of Crayola colored pencils, just 97 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
Adding the choice of a crispy chicken BLT to Wendy's 4-for-4 is the biggest thing since rappers trying to sing.
I got me a yacht and I sound like a robot.
But do you like the sound of this? Wendy's 4-for-4 now comes with a choice of a junior bacon cheeseburger or a crispy chicken BLT.
From Detroit to Macon, I keep it crisp like bacon.
Both are topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon and come with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4.
Oh, yeah.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
You know what, Seth? We may be similar in a lot of ways, but there's one thing, there's one big difference between the both of us. Last week on Monday Night Raw, I earned my opportunity at SummerSlam, where you, You had yours handed to you.
Handed to me, huh?
You think I had it handed to me? I've never had anything handed to me in my career. I've worked every day
for it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, DC Dan, Cole, Brian, Mark, House, got it, yes.
Thank you.
Stu, Sean Stewart, and Dan, and UFC Hall of Famer, Dan to be Severn.
You can just refer to me as Mr. Stash, if you like.
Mr. Stash, yeah. Yes, my stash bows to yours. I don't even have one now.
I kind of want Keith Hernandez here right now, too.
no play for Mr. Gray. All right. Welcome back to the show. I'll let you know we're going to be out August 20th for UFC 202 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Main event, Diaz McGregor 2 cannot wait for that. Hosted by us. Prizes, drink specials all night long. It's August 20th, and the next night, you can hang out with us, too. We're going to be living there that weekend because we're going to be there for SummerSlam pay-per-view at Salvatore's. That starts at 8, of course, on the 21st of August. 149 Eastern Road. Come hang out with us. We'll have a good time. I promise you that. We are back promoting Headlocks and Home Runs 5, which is going to take place out in Webster today. It's called Premier Sports Center of Western New York. 701 Phillips Road in Webster. Definitely check out the show. And we have, of course, three-time UFC champ, Dan Severn in the studio with us too. Mark Haas. How's it going, brother? We haven't really talked to you much.
How quickly he forgets.
I know. It's a house. We're going to go through this. No, I'm doing good. I'm glad that, you don't have to say much to me. Dan's in the house.
I know, but Mark Haas.
I'm enjoying listening to him, but it's nice to be able to talk a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's nice that you came up with us and everything. And you're going to got the Brooklyn Brawler tonight, you know, throwing barbs at you.
Well, you know, he wanted to pick a fight with me, and, you know, he's trying to stay relevant after 30 years of being in the WWE. Comes out, he tries to pick a fight with a young up and comer like myself, and it's not gonna work. Like he's gonna wheel himself in. He's gotta take a little extra fish oil and some vitamins just to get himself going, just to get to UPW and to step into my house. It's just he really house. Just needs to step up his game.
I was gonna say, to get him going, just call him Abe.
Yeah,
Abe Knuckleball. What was it?
Abe Knuckleball. Well, there is a Headlocks and Home Runs Battle Royal, so we never know what surprise we might be able to see.
Yeah, but he says he's ready for you. He says he's in great shape. He's been training and everything, so you will see when he's going to be in town real soon. Yeah, I'm sure he would have joined us. He wanted to be live. Once I told him Dan was in the studio, he was like, oh, I haven't seen Dan in forever.
No, he didn't want to come in because he was afraid of me. He just he didn't want to be in the same room with me because he knows that I clearly have the star power.
Those two guys in the room there together, just we'd have a pull apart there right after the get go.
Absolutely.
Gotta save that for the fans tonight.
I'd love to see that. You are of course everyone loves you here in town, Mark. We see you working. You know, you're out there in Brockport working for what was that? What's the company in Brockport?
IWF.
IWF.
He's been killing it. Yeah. The last two shows they've done, this man has wrestled twice.
Oh, I've opened it and closed the shows. The past two shows, I've come out and earned my spot for the main event by beating the people in the beginning.
And I believe Danny had a sign for you last time he was there, right? Did you have a sign?
I try to have signs for all my favorites every time I go. My favorite though was when he fought Vince Valor, and I had my Mark House Douche Hunter sign.
Well, I mean, that was my all-time favorite. Vince Valor is a douchosaurus, and we were hunting for him.
Sure, gotcha.
So every show, whatever scrub gets in the ring with me, we are hunting that because they are an endangered species. Because with the fans and me, we hunt those douchosaurus.
I thought maybe it was a new Pokemon or something. You know,
no.
Don't get anyone started.
No. He's Vince Valor, king of the douche.
Cool,
Mr. Severn. What would you do to a Pokemon?
The only thing I'll say positive about this Pokemon app is the sheer fact that people are off their butts and they're at least walking around. Other than that, I have nothing positive to say about it. I like to poke Pokemon.
Suplex or submission?
Suplex them all.
Suplex all day long.
Very cool. Mark, how's health going? Everything? Your knees doing great?
Knees are doing good. Body's doing good. I've gotten back to a full schedule. I'm working once or twice a weekend, and I'm getting out there and traveling a little bit further and working some new people. It's been really, really good, and I'm back to 100% health.
Your manager just called me and told me to say house. Just say house. He kept telling me over and over on the phone. Bobby Rogers there?
Yes, what Bobby Rogers. He helped me to victory last night in Montgomery, Pennsylvania. I retained my Moonshine-branded heavyweight championship with the help of Mad Dog.
You should have brought him with you.
Well, you know, he's got things to do. He's got manager stuff to do, like take care of my schedule and make sure that I get the best fights and matches possible.
Very cool.
Mad Dog and Dan Severn in the same room just exploded my brain.
Oh, that would have been wonderful.
That definitely would have been pretty cool. Actually, he called. So you can call back and ask a question, Mr. Mad Dog. Dan, I want to ask you, working with Jim Cornette, You know, with that time he was your manager there in the WWF for a short time. I mean, was that was, obviously they paired you? Did they think you couldn't talk? Because obviously you can. You're on this show. You're doing a great job. Is that what they're, or did they want, did, you know, Jim to just direct you and, you know, and be to the point in the promos and stuff?
Well, obviously Jim Cornette, what could you say? Just he's fantastic. You give that man a microphone and then he'll talk enough to where he even believes it himself. So Jim's been great with me over three different times. I'd say that he's made a really big impact in my professional wrestling career over the years, and with the WWF at the time, he was great there. Well, a lot of people just did not know me. It's I even had I did an interview with Russo just recently.
Oh, Vince Russo. Yeah.
And he kept talking about that whole attitude era and about me being there and stuff like this. He said, I've never had this much interaction with you as I'm speaking to you, on the mic and stuff like that every now. He says, the thing about you, he says, you scared us all. He says, you just have that look about you that you just know that, and not only did you have that look about you, we seen what you did to people inside the cage and stuff like this. So we were always very leery around you. He says, having this interaction with you, he goes, I realize you're kind of a somewhat of a normal cat. You just do some abnormal things along the way. But that's where I'll say that if you only ever saw me as a performer and whatever I did in professional wrestling or what I did in the cage fighting world, even in my amateur wrestling career, I really did not go out of my way to do things or to interact with people. I did stay to myself, and for some reason, people just thought that was, me being standoffish, something like this. But no, I'm actually, when asked questions, I'll definitely answer questions for people. I just don't, normally I just sit back and I just watch things unfold before me. Jim Cornette, though, fantastic person to have as the person to speak on my behalf. He actually even wrote the foreword to my book. So once again, and he didn't even hesitate about that whatsoever. I just kind of thought that he would have been a good person because he's seen me in a couple of those different industries, and he liked what I did with the NWA strap when I actually brought it out to the Octagon, because at that time the UFC ownership did not want to have anything to do with professional wrestling whatsoever.
Very interesting you say that. Last weekend, on the last fights they had a guy with a luchador mask on who took it off before he fought, and then when he did a post-fight interview, put it back on. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, they're probably scared. I mean, seeing you in your work in those original UFCs, I mean, you went in and you were out to, win. And, I mean, that fire in your eye probably scared them. If someone can get, it's controlled violence inside the Octagon, at that time. Maybe that was some of their being someone like Vince Russo doesn't want to get beat up,
stretched. That was just a trait. I'm definitely a great mixture of both of my parents. My father was a scary cat. He didn't even have to say anything. He just had this look about him towards, like, as he looked in your way, you bowed your head down to him. It's like, there's no way I don't want to cross this man. It was kind of funny because my high school wrestling coach used to always put my father on crowd control. And my father was like Moses, the way that he could part the seas as he walked through the place. He just had he had stature about him, and he had this presence. And I'll say I got that from him. And my mother had this fly by the seat of your pants attitude that I have adapted to quite well. So I'm definitely a mixture of both of them.
Very cool. We have a question from the artist formerly known as Baldy on the line with you. You're on with Dan Severn.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid addressing the 400-pound baby grill in the corner of the studio because I'm tickled pink to have Dan Severn in the studio. Hi, Dan. This is Josh Hill, and I actually got a quick statement for all the youngsters out there. A lot of people don't realize you were Brock Lesnar before there was a Brock Lesnar. However, it's my opinion that since you weren't chemically enhanced with a ton of PEDs, they didn't necessarily want to push you to the moon. Plus, they probably didn't at that point trust you because MMA was so new and all those guys were probably so legitimately afraid of you. However, quick question. I don't know if you really follow the modern scene of WWE. There's been a recent brand extension where they basically took their show and split it into two. Originally, it was rumored that they might actually be diversifying between the brands, having one be more drama, one be more sport. However, it seems like they just split it up and watered it down. I mean, what do you think the success rate would be if there was a Federation with guys like you, specifically Angle, Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, you know, some of the Cesaro, some of the more legitimate guys, how do you think they would take off?
Oh, I definitely, if you were to put out kind of a strong style, shoot style type of performance, I think it would do very, very well for itself. You know, even if people just simply knew that, you know, it's just this performance, it would do well. It did well in Japan, and I think that's what professional wrestling has been trying to move towards in different aspects. But to me, professional wrestling in general is, I'll say it's that three ring circus with a side freak show. Professional wrestling, it's singles matches, it's tags matches, it's midgets, it's giants, it's oddities, it's all of the above. That to me is what professional wrestling is. But if you were to come out with a strong style nature, and they didn't do it in a ring, they did it in inside of a cage, and it was set up as a performance type of aspect, I think that would go over really well, just as long as they didn't start taking it too crazy. You're seeing the influence right now in both areas between professional wrestling and mixed martial arts right now. You've got so many crossover athletes bouncing back and forth. You know, at my own training facility at Coldwater, Michigan, I'm the only trainer, so I know that actually underneath one roof I have amateur wrestlers, professional wrestlers, cage fighters, boxers, kickboxers, all training underneath the same roof, and they have a lot of respect for each other because they realize how hard each one has to work in order to achieve success. Like inside the boxing ring, inside the professional wrestling ring, these MMA guys, they see the wrestlers taking these bumps on this padding, and then they walk in there and they just do a little fall down or something like this, being pushed down in actual competition sparring or something like this, they realize how hard this surface is, and they just have a greater respect. So I like what each group is learning from each other. But you know, again, I kind of diverse from your original question, but I still say that a strong style operation, if it could be held as close as possible to a strong style, would do very well in the United States.
Thanks for the call. We got to go to break. Thank you for that, Dan. We got one more segment with Dan. If you want to get in, 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us at that number. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Billy's back, and he brought blockbuster savings with him. If you love huge savings, sit back and enjoy the show at Fusillo Kia this August. How's this for a sneak preview? How about a 2016 Kia Optima for zero down $239 a month? MSRP is $23,020. That's zero down $239 a month on a 2016 Kia Optima. The hottest blockbuster of the summers right here at Fusillo Kia and online at FusilloKiaGreece.com. If you want to apply for financing, look no further than HugeKiaCredit.com. Chances are great we can find the terms that suit your needs. So log on today, then come shop us 7 days a week this August right here at Fusillo Kia of Greece during Billy's blockbuster event. It's huge.
36-month, 30,000-mile lease, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents per mile over my limit. 8% tax. Zero due at signing. First monthly payment of $239, $595 acquisition fee plus tax, tags, and DMV fees included in payment structure. $2,700 key lease cash applied. $400 disposition fee, no early termination fee. No security deposit required. Offer with approved credit through Kia Motor Finance. Prior sales excluded. See dealer for details. Pricing available from August 1st, 2016 through August 31st, 2016.
At RochesterForLess.com, you can pick up half-price gift certificates to some of Rochester's best restaurants, salons, spas, and merchants. Every week at RochesterForLess.com, there's a...
Hey, what's up? This is Sterling James Keenan. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman here with Danger Boy. What are you guys laughing about?
I just said after the show, you're going to go back to your Haas.
Yeah, pretty much.
DC Dan Cole.
He's going with Finn Balor. With Stop Finn Balor, back to his Haas.
You're making fun of me again. Okay,
all right. Royce Gracie.
Joined by Ryan and Mark Haas. There, I guess I did that on purpose. We're Mark's house. Hey, whose house is it? It's Mark's house. All right.
Dan, take care of the stash again.
Sean Stewart. Yeah, you know, I've been in a funk lately, okay? I can't pronounce anything correctly. Danger Boy. And, of course, UFC Hall of Famer Dan Severin joining us. And the man with the best mustache in the world. Oh, yes. I will give him that. You know, there's no, I envy that. That's when the cash stash was growing, that's what I was thinking, you know? And it just never worked out that way. But thanks for coming on, Joyce. We have one more segment. Dan, people have been texting us, some people they wanted to get your thoughts on that you were actually wrestling with at the time, too. How about, did you ever have any dealings with Steve Blackman?
When I was working with the WWF, I'll say that's probably the only time I really had any true interaction with him. It seemed like whatever storylines that were taking place were somehow involving Ken Shamrock, Steve Blackman, Owen Hart, and myself. You have the Lion's Den match, you have the dungeon match, stuff like that, so that our lives kind of got intertwined in that aspect. But nothing really materialized too much after the fact, but I'll just say that for some reason they felt like they should put the four of us together. I enjoyed working with Owen a great deal, especially doing the dungeon match, to be up at the Hart residence, yeah. Sit up there with Stu for probably, I'll bet, better part of 3 hours, listening to him tell stories while down in the basement they're set up lighting and sound and trying to put together what make the most sense of a match inside the dungeon. That my part was, like I said, easy. I'm just a referee, so just doing whatever I have to do there.
Sure. I always seen pictures from the dungeon down there. It seems like the ceiling was a little low.
It was, and that was one of the spots that they ended up doing. They're just lifting the other guy up and put his head up to the ceiling.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, now what about Tank Abbott? Thoughts on Tank Abbott and interactions with him?
I say Tank Abbott, he's probably everybody's nightmare at the local bar. he had that kind of volatility. You might go down there with him, buy him a few beers, and then somewhere in the close of the evening, he might punch you out. that's kind of a person I think that he is. He just he represents that nightmare at the bar.
Okay, so he followed you into the world of pro wrestling. WCW gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I competed against him in the mixed martial arts world at one point in time. He did some stuff in professional wrestling, and more recently, I was supposed to have done a match. The third match was supposed to take place with Ken Shamrock, and originally around February, I think 19th or 20th.
Tank, you mean?
No. This was with Ken Shamrock originally, but Ken basically backed out less than 9 days before. Mm. And in less than 9 days, now they're trying to reach out to somebody else, and Tank Abbott was the only person they got a hold of that he would step right up to the plate to do that, but upon going through his physicals, he was deemed that he was, blood pressure, stuff like that, was so high that he was an accident waiting to happen, so he did not pass his medicals. On a good note, at least he's aware of some things, so that if he wants to take care of me, get him take care of. Because a lot of people are saying, well, Tank Abbott this, Tank Abbott that. I go, no. If the heat should be brought in, let's put it on old Ken Boy there right now, for the fact that he knew about this match back in November of 2015. I literally took out 5 months' block of time. I have never put that much time into a training camp. Ironically, I've only ever had 2 training camps before, once for 32 days, once for 35 days. I really don't count the El Snow as a training camp, because it was more like slapstick comedy. If you actually would have been there with a camera, it would have been great for slapstick type of comedy, because even in the same aspect, in my corner, I've got El Snow getting ready to tell me about what in a cage fight here right now. Use head? I don't know here right now.
Dan, it's great listening to everything from your past, but we're going to be coming up on the end of the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this match that you're going to have tonight?
Well, I am going up against Chris Caton, and from what I have found out, Chris has been kind of running his mouth here a little bit, and I'm the person that has been brought in to, I guess, get his mind right, realign him, or, in other words, to punish him just a little bit for being such a bad boy. And I'm thinking right now, here I am, I'm on the pain clinic, and we're speaking about punishment, and I like to teach in principles of pain all the time. Pain, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Come tomorrow morning when Chris Caton wakes back on up, because he will be in so much pain, he'll be remembering me from what happens to him later this evening.
That's right. Premier Sports Tonight Center of Western New York, Premier Sports Center, 701 Phillips Road. Come on out and see Dan the Beast Severn, Chris Caton, Mark House Call. Well, tell us real quick about that before we got like 10 seconds left. How can people follow your show?
Just following me around the weekends and seeing what I'm doing behind the scenes outside of wrestling matches. It's the daily grind.
All right. Good luck with the Brooklyn Brawlers. Thank you, Dan Severn, for joining us.
Rich,
everybody
the
else.
The realest guy in the room. The Life and Times of Dan B. Severn, available on Amazon.com.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tonight, folks.